episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, fuck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
A lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm here to introduce the Christmas edition of the Rick and Roro Show. On the December the 25th, episode number 61. Can you believe that, everybody? And Roro, are you in the room? Roro,
I am. Kenny. I thought you died in 1988. What the fuck are you?
No. It was misreported, Roro. I'm still alive, very much alive. And I talked to just see, what's your friend's name? He's gorgeous. He's absolutely gorgeous. A young man. Rick is his name.
I don't know. He's just gone
off to the toilet to adjust.
I thought you might have said Sid James or
Barbara. No, Barbara's dead, sadly. But you're very handsome, Kenny.
Kenny, can you name any of the Carry On actors that are still with us?
Kenny, I think there's,
can you?
Yeah. I think one of them might be still alive. Is it? I think they're all.
I'm putting you on the spot there. Aren't I, Kenny? All right, Kenny, get off the line and put Rick back on, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kenny. G'day, Rick.
That was Kenneth Williams, came into my house, roamed around, and remarked on everything.
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? He's still alive.
On Christmas Day. What a Christmas present.
Well, that's the greatest Christmas present ever, to have Kenneth Williams himself come into my household, which is empty. Can I just say how happy I am to have a nice empty house on Christmas Day? It wasn't empty for a couple of days. I had my sister here with her daughter, and then my two sons were here this morning till about midday, and I've gone home, and I've got the entire house to myself. No mess.
Oh, lovely.
No wrapping paper, et cetera. Rollo, how was your Christmas morning?
I found a peach on a tree.
That's right.
So I didn't have to have a – it is remarkable, isn't it? I went down, took the Rosie down to do her ablutions.
Her poop.
And Christy had put up she cut a tree down, not for – you know, Christmas, not Christmas, but it had fallen down or something. It was on her property.
So she went and cut it down.
No, she didn't cut it down. It fell down on its own. So she just put it in a pot and put, you know, to amuse her nieces and nephews and all that crap that I'm not into. Anyway, I had the best Christmas tree because I went down there and there's There's a peach on there, and we ate it, and I cut it in half.
The Christmas miracle of the peach. The Christmas miracle of the peach. Yep.
Which is, her bum back in the day was like the perfect set of peaches. remember that song? Millions of peaches, peaches for free. Millions of peaches. The President of the United States.
Of America. Kind of one-hit wonder. Three-hit wonder. Three-hit wonder, Ben.
Yeah,
no, it's wonderful. Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve, Rollo, last night, as I was telling you, myself and my youngest son, Norbert.
I know his real name. I know his real name, but we won't say it on there. Yeah.
We already have. But anyway, we watched The Shining last night, and he had never seen it before, so because he wants to watch the, what's the sequel called? Doctor Sleep.
He wants to watch it. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I haven't seen the sequel.
Apparently it's really
I like the first one.
Yeah, it's really dark, apparently. But no, he'd never seen The Shining, and I went to see it as a 15-year-old, 79, thereabout.
That's right. Apparently, the guy that wrote the book, Stephen King, hated it.
Yep.
Yeah, but the music gets so good, and Stanley Kubrick's direction, and
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I swear, when you're in the, what's the name of the hotel? It's called the
Overlook.
Overlook. Yeah, where there's no alcohol, there's nothing in there. And he's in there, and he goes up to the bar, and he does that scene. And because who played his wife? Shelley Duvall, right?
Shelley Duvall, yeah.
Yeah, and Lloyd comes up, and he opens his wallet. And he goes, I'm a little late. And he goes, your credit's good here, Mr. Torrance.
Don't you think that Lloyd actually looks a little bit like? And there's a couple of people, but he looks a little bit like
He only died recently in 2022.
Fantastic info, Roller. No. But Lloyd looks kind of a bit like Major Bellows, the psychiatrist off I Dream of Jeannie, if he lost a bit of weight.
Oh, I love that show. Bellows was the one that wasn't in on it.
The scheme, no.
Yeah.
But he looked a bit like him. But I would guess he'd be an English actor that played. Was he English? He'd have to be English. The guy that played Lloyd.
English. Yeah, he's an English guy. But
because they shot the whole thing.
But the way he was, because Dave J does that quite often with the new AI stuff. Now he goes, "What would you want, Mr. Rollo?" He would say, a sweet line of cocaine and a vodka or an Amogaloo. And a cigarette chaser.
If you were stuck in the Overlook with those cigarettes and the guy came out of nowhere, was you leaning at the bar, and he said, basically, you would have sold your soul. And he said, look, all you have to do, Rollo, is sell your soul for eternity. And I'm going to give you a packet of Benson Hedges, a bottle of vodka, and you're going to be happy.
Yeah, and a sweet line of the brown sugar.
Yeah. Not brown sugar, but a line of pink Peruvian coke.
The sweetest cocaine you've ever put up your nose. Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Or an Ecky or something.
Well, listen to this. I got off a friend of mine. He said he had a friend that makes cookies, and I mean when I say cookies, I'm talking about edible cookies.
Hash cookies.
And I said, it's maybe not hash, but anyway, I said, get me some.
Cannabis cookies.
Anyway, he dropped this thing around the other day, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, you know when someone looks you in the eye and they go, it's fucking strong, you can only have a crumb, like a thumbnail crumb, you can't have a quarter. He said that a whole one, and he looked at me in the eye when he said that. He goes, a whole one will fuck you up for days. And I said, okay, that's good that you gave me that information. And I had what I would call about a thumbnail, might have been a bit more, And let me tell you, Rollo, it was fucking off.
You were flying high.
And my niece.
Reminds me of that time where I was down at Waverton or whatever it was, where I could see the bridge, and I was at this high class party one night, and I was munching into these things.
Hash cookies.
And suddenly I went out of my fucking gourd.
Oh my God.
It was a news. There were fireworks and everything. It was a.
And you were just
a New Year's Eve night. And I have to leave. Do you think I could get down to the bloody, elevator to my car? No one helped me.
I couldn't hardly get out of my bed.
There in the car. Looking at the fireworks. And they're gone. And every joint in your body.
Three caps of high power MDMA. And you're
You get a bit chatty, but you love everyone then. Doesn't matter how big an asshole they are.
And the greatest thing ever is to go and have a shower, which I did. I'll tell you this. Did I tell you that story? I was at this big, massive outdoor dance party in like 2000, and someone gave me a cap of something or other, and I had it.
Someone slipped you a Mickey, did they?
It gave me one and I had it.
And I was just going,
fuck, I feel special all of a sudden. And I said, I've got to go and have a shower. And I went off to have a shower and it was like standing in the water. This is this giant fucking, it was called Happy Valley, biggest dance party Australia's ever seen. I think it was 50,000 people. It was huge. Anyway, I came back to the where we had my camper van set up with a market stall, whatever. And the girls go, you know who just came past here? And I went, I don't care who came past here. And then they said, Hawkland and their manager. And I went, are you fucking joking? And they did. While I was having a shower, oblivious to this thing, and I came back, and the members of Hawkwind came past our tent, and one of the girls shaved, because there was a couple, with my girlfriend and another girl who was a hairdresser, and she was dyeing people's hair and shaving, like, stuff off the, it was a big dance. And they got their manager to shave his head and dye it blue. I must have been in the shower for fucking an hour, obviously, before this was going on. So I missed out.
How many years ago was this? Like this
25 years ago.
25 years. And I could have met.
Why does that ring a bell? One of my favorite bands ever. Lemmy was the bass player, but not then. He'd left by then for Motorhead.
But they
were there and they opened up the thing and I was so off my head I didn't get there. What an idiot. Another big regret in my life. A big regret in my life.
We've all done it. I got given a free ticket to Pink Floyd.
He didn't go.
No, he didn't go. I was on the monorail in Sydney trying to chat up some bird. Got a blowjob. Does that count as sex?
Kind of, I would say. I would probably say that. Anyway, can you believe it? So this morning, someone sent. I was looking at YouTube and I looked up. And I sent it to you because it is the fucking most out there thing ever. And it's a Quentin Smooth, whatever he calls himself.
I watched it. You said it's brand new. I thought it was old.
Look, honestly, this is a perfect recreation of the psychotic, weird shit that we were given as children in the 70s. These guys, and they're all English.
Classic.
And they've made it.
Classic. All the voice work.
And it's all patchy.
And they were talking about electricity. Electricity is what they were trying to explain. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And we're going to be ending the show with a song if Jollo can actually use it. I sent him the copy.
Anything.
song called, the band's called The Electric Knickers, and the song's called Electric Knickers, which is, I'm talking about underpants. And I just thought, fuck, that's an amazing song. But this clip of it's them recreating what people did see as children's shows in England in the early 70s, late 60s particularly. Really scary stuff that was presented as children's entertainment. And I'm going to put Doctor Who as one of the top ones.
That's true. But that's true. But there was no, back then there were no, it wasn't like there were, I would suggest that the children's entertainment these days is more nefarious because we're old men now and it's all trying to teach them trans and LGBTQ. Yeah. What the hell's LGBTQ? There was no LGBTQ when we were young. All right. There you were a poofter, you're a fag.
Yeah, you're a poofter.
And even gay when I was really young meant happy.
Happy.
Yeah, they corrupted.
They corrupted the rainbow logo, which is a perfect, is like a very Christian
logo.
When they took
over the rainbow. Mm. Yeah,
and then they added four colours to it. They've added, because the original rainbow is seven colours.
They've added four colours. So it's red, India, blue. Now, indigo. Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. There you go. That's how you remember it. Roy G. Biv.
Yeah, and they've added about four more to make it 11 numbers.
To add trans and all sorts of.
Intersex,
intersexual, or whatever. It's
completely unnatural. It's completely fucked up. Yeah. Completely fucked up, 100%, 100%. Mm. Yeah, but, you know, but so Christmas Day is always to me a day of not a lot of people and I myself, it's stressful.
Merry Christmas. Sorry to talk over there, Rick.
Okay.
I haven't wished you a Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Yeah. We took Rosie down to the lake to have a swim.
And how was that?
And that was great because Christy, there was no one down there pretty much. So we had the place to ourselves and it was really cool. And Christy used Julie Andrews on me a couple of times.
Does it work for her?
So that was a lot of fun because I was talking too much. I was a bit of yibba yabba because I'd done a bottle of vodka today. Not a Mogaloo's. A Mogaloo's, vodka, lime, and sodas is what I had today, not vodka and carrot juice. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, she spent the day with her family, had a really great day. So it was just me and the dog on the balcony looking at my peaches, millions of peaches for free.
Where is the peach tree then from your balcony?
I can look at it right now. It's about a stone's throw away.
Pardon the pun, because it's a cherry stone. Sorry, forget about that one. There's a peach.
I've got cherries. Christy bought me a whole bunch of cherries from the market this morning. They're in my fridge. She feeds me. There's a whole bunch of leftovers. All the roast potatoes and roast beetroots
Rick and
Rollo
61. You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Hello. This is the Rick and Rollo Show on December the 25th, 2025. And the all hosts are Rollo and Rick, and they're coming back right now.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah. I don't know if we'll be using you next year.
What a nice guy.
He's a lovely guy.
He's a good voiceover guy. Reminds me of
It's if I can do that. That voice.
He reminds me of Marvin the Martian, the space modulator. Space modulator.
You can do Ken too. You can do Ken too. You're quite a good voice man.
Not a bad mimic.
This is our
61st show. On December the 25th, we weren't going to do anything. You said we'll have a break, but why not? I mean, got nothing better to do. And coming on to the original,
I was when you rang, I was just wanking and thinking of you. I was watching Regurgitator the other. I don't know why. Remember that band, the Australian. And yeah, then really it was good. The Asian guy, and I was watching a Vietnamese. Was he? Oh, right. That was great. And in the day,
his name's Quan something. Right?
Yeah, I was watching a documentary about their whole because I loved them back in the day. I sucked a lot of stuff to get where I am. And I like your old stuff better than your new stuff.
They were an advanced band back in their day because they actually were being parodying song lyrics and making funny songs up.
Oh, I used to love watching them live. I watched them live so many times. Sorry.
Yeah, they weren't taking it seriously. The Hard-Ons, they're a very multicultural band. If you look at, a Vietnamese, Aussie, and a...
I was never into the Hard-Ons. Were they a bit like Cold Chisel or something?
No. The Hard-Ons were, they were a... Lebanese guy, another Vietnamese guitarist who works for Utopia Records still to this day. And if you go to Utopia Records in Sydney, the house of metal, home of metal, you will actually meet the lead guitarist. He's actually still working there. And a guy that was totally multicultural though. And they did that great song with Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins. He did a great cover version of an AC/DC song, didn't he?
Yeah, with them. It was the Henry Rollins and the Hard-Ons doing, whatever it's called.
What was the song that they covered? It was in the beginning.
Oh, I'll have to look at it. Let Them Rock. Yeah, Henry Rollins and the Hard-Ons. So the Hard-Ons were a proper Australian band, multicultural, like a Lebanese, a Vietnamese, and a guy from what's that country? One of them was from Yugoslavia. So it was a Yugoslavian, a Vietnamese, and a Lebanese guy drumming, who played the drums and sang the lead vocals. But they bought Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins came in, and he did. I highly recommend that song, Let There Be Rock, with Henry Rollins and the Hard-Ons.
Remember when Henry Rollins were knocking around? He was knocking around with the Jackass guys, the stunt guys. Yep. And he was tattooing Steve's arm.
He did it.
while he was driving over speed bumps and whatever. Yeah. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Classic. Henry Rollins.
Can you imagine what his arm
looks like? He was trying to tattoo, while they were going over,
speed bumps,
smiley face. That's all he was trying to do. Steve is such a fucking idiot. One of the funniest things I've seen Steve do some funny crap way before, social media and where he wanked and spunked on someone's keyboard or something
They do that.
You saw him do it. You saw him do it. Yeah. And but the other thing that What else did Steve-O do? Oh, that's right.
Just remember, the Rick and Rollo show is not for children. Rick and Rollo show is not for children.
It's not for children. Definitely not.
An age restriction on it if Rollo's on there.
18 and up. Grab your children if they're.
Hey, Rollo, but changing the subject.
No, listen.
That's nice. Okay.
My favorite Steve-O story is when he had a high power. You know how good shot you are with a slug gun.
Oh, anything. If you give me anything.
He shot slugs into his butt cheek.
And I saw that.
And then he wiped Indian ink over it to permanently mark it. He grabbed
I reckon I've said it before. Steve-O is possessed, and have a look at the guy's face, man. That guy's got a demon in him, 100%.
Well, his teeth are all fake because he knocked them all out when he tried to jump off a two-story building into a pool and knocked landed all his teeth out. Yeah, landed on his face.
I've said there's
a guy called Andy Dick. Andy Dick, have you ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, I have.
He got punched so hard in the face because he's such a lunatic on crystal meth or cocaine or whatever the hell he's on. And now he's basically homeless.
Really?
I watched his story. Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, we've all done Andy Dick. Yeah, he wasn't that funny, but he was okay.
Yeah.
But the trouble was, the alcohol and the Zoloft and the naproxen and all the pharmaceutical, all doing it all together. Whereas the worst I ever got was when I was on when I was drinking, say, beer and I got Dexy's Midnight Runners, dexamphetamine.
Yeah,
and it gave you a great buzz.
Fantastic.
And I'd crush them up and snort them.
Ha! As you do.
Yeah.
Well. Anyway, changing the subject, I watched it today because I was at home from about lunchtime by myself.
Hmm.
I had my sister here for a couple of days up till just Christmas, till Christmas Eve, I think they left. And so we had a kind of family kind of Christmassy kind of thing. My daughter's still in New Zealand. My two sons here, and they're all gone. So I decided to watch Christmas shows again, as I always say I do on Christmas Day, and I love it. But I watched the Snowman, which I was rating on the Be Told show I did about a week and a half ago. The Snowman is one of the greatest British Christmas shows ever. I happened to watch the sequel to it Fourth Channel 4 in Britain did in 12 years ago. So whatever, 2012 or, 12 or 13 years ago. And it's called The Snowman and the Dog. And I watched that today and I thought, fuck, man, that is the most not depressing. It's actually a good ending. But the beginning of the show, and you'd be in tears if you watched this. This little boy moves into the same house that the first snowman was in with his mother, single mother, as usual, very Disney-like. And he has a little puppy dog when he moves in there. And then the next scene, within 3 minutes of getting into the show, the dog dies. And he's there with his mother burying their dog. And I'm like, this isn't very nice for children. It's going to bring death into the room, literally. So he builds a snowman anyway, and he finds the toys of the kid that was living before. This is Raymond Briggs, but not Raymond Briggs didn't write this one. But anyway, the snowman arrives again, and he makes a toy dog out of the snow. Snow dog, and the snow dog, and him and the snowman fly off to do the same kind of things. But I was thinking, I was so depressed because when you have a pet dog and it dies, you are beyond depressed. A dog is almost bigger than having a family member die.
Well, Rick, I mean, well, for starters, every time you say snow, all I think is cocaine.
And secondly, the only thing I fear
is the dog dying.
There's not a lot else in my life.
That's how tragic.
If I didn't have a beer and a cigarette in my hand, which I've got now, talking to you. I know. We're friends.
Yep.
So explain the ending of this story.
So I thought, no, I'm going to have to watch this because this is already upsetting me, just watching this, them burying a dog in the first 5 minutes of this Christmas show. Because it's really sad. It's extraordinarily sad. Because, you know, obviously, you have a pet dog and it dies. But this happened within the first 5 minutes. But spoiler alert here. He makes a snow dog and the snowman comes back to life. It's the same snowman and he finds the original little box. He lifts up he finds it in his bedroom, an old, the floorboard lifts up and he finds the original box of the snowman's original hat and scarf. Very Doctor Who like scarves. Mm. Or Doctor Who. Scarves and Doctor Who go together. That's a thing. Anyway, he makes this snow dog and the snow dog and the snowman come to life. They fly off and do this amazing adventure. But when he comes back, he puts on this collar around the snow dog and the snow dog comes to life and is actually alive again. And honestly, it's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. And he gets a little puppy. But his dog comes back to life. And
whereas in real life, once your dog dies, they don't.
And the cats don't come back to life.
Well, one of the funniest things was I used to watch was it a footy show or something where they had their dog called Snuffy or something, and it was a taxidermified dog. You know, people taxidermify their dog.
Yeah.
Isn't that creepy? You shouldn't keep your dog. Remember the photos.
Well, can you imagine having your mother taxidermied and sitting in the room with you?
Well, now you're talking about psycho now, okay. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what were we talking about?
Do you remember the remake of Psycho where they cast Gus Van Sant did a shot for shot remake, but he cast Vince Vaughn.
No.
So Anthony Perkins. Yeah, no. Vince Vaughn, the comedy actor.
Wrong.
Yeah, and it was in color. It wasn't in black and white. It was the most ridiculous remake. But
we were talking about me watching The Shining last night, and I actually had to explain what me and you were just talking about before. Stephen King decided to put his version out. And I'm telling you, I was bored fucking senseless watching that, the Stephen King official book.
I've seen it too. Yeah.
Don't you think it was terrible?
It was way more true to the book.
It was true to the book, but it wasn't nothing like it.
The book was about an alcoholic who was in the Overlook Hotel. There was no booze in there, but there was something in there. There was, and Stephen King's version was just, it just didn't.
No.
Go to the screen as well, nearly as good as Stanley Kubrick's version.
Yeah,
got Jack Nicholson. All right. Shelley Duvall had to put up with fucking Kubrick's. How many takes did he when he was swinging the baseball bat up the stairs?
Hundreds and hundreds. Yeah, literally.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
And so she was crying, and Jack Nicholson was he was being nice to her, but Cooper, you can actually watch it on YouTube. The original, the shots that they were doing, and they're making them do countless reshoots. Now, when moving on to another Christmas Kubrick film, which is Eyes Wide Shut, which is an absolutely terrific movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With our Nikki. Well, she's Nikki, not our Nikki because she was born. She was born in Hawaii. And Tom Cruise was born somewhere in America. The States, wasn't he?
He's American. Yeah.
But it was a good movie.
Which I think is highly recommended because she's got a great body back then. But
I agree.
There were scenes in that he did the same thing to them. It was like endless shooting it, over and over, do it again. And I'm talking about 200 to 300 to 400 or 500, do it again.
He was a crazy guy. Whereas
one of the scenes.
When my favorite movie of Kubrick was the black and white one he did with Peter Sellers. And he wanted Peter Sellers to play four parts.
How I love the bomb.
That's the one. It was called Dr. Strangelove wasn't it?
Dr. Strangelove, but How I Stopped Lying and Learned to Love the Bomb.
That was the funniest movie.
That pushed nuclear fear, and it also demonized conspiracy theorists that were talking about the addition of in the water of whatever that thing is that they put in the water for your teeth.
George C. Scott was so good in it.
Fantastic.
Stole the show.
He chewed scenery like
James Earl Jones was in it. He was in the plane.
Yep.
Yeah, Darth Vader. Very young James Earl Jones. Because the movie was made in 1963.
It was meant to come out. Can you believe this? It was supposed to come out the day of the Kennedy shooting, which was the 22nd of November,
1963.
So they stopped it and actually released it about the day later, just like Doctor Who arrived the day later. I mean, so many cultural legendary shows came out the day after the Kennedy shooting.
That was brilliant because everybody was watching the news. They repeated the first episode with who was the first Doctor Who?
William Hartnell.
You're better than me. I consider myself a Doctor Who expert.
You're better than me, but I do remember William Hartnell.
Yeah, well, they had to repeat it because everyone was watching the news because of the,
psychological operation.
Big time. Yeah, he lived to a long age. He wasn't killed in Dealey Plaza. That Zapruder footage Shannon came out years ago. What was his name? William Cooper. I think he was Bill the Cooper. First one that yeah, Bill Cooper
no,
that
no, it was no, no. They, the Zapruder footage, whatever it was, came out 14 or 15 years later on a comedy show with that black Dick Gregory brought it out on one of the talk shows. Dick Gregory. And who was the guy that went on about chemtrails? And Prince used to always cite Dick Gregory, talked about chemtrails back, way back then. Interesting conversation, let's be told. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I watched when I saw JFK by Oliver Stone in the theater. It's a great movie, but
I can remember. Look, I was a conspiracy theorist years before. You're listening to
Rick and Roller's 61.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Thank you, Sarah. Rick and Rollo 61 on truthmeets.com on the
December 25th.
I think it's December 25th, Christmas Day. Yeah. Exactly. I've got a beer in my hand. What's in your hand? I've got a James Baggs Premium in my hand. And I've got a Manchester cigarette in my other.
I've got a Cooper's family brewed, Cooper's Dry, established 1862. Fucking hell, 1862.
What's that taste like?
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Kubrick. Because Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick is like one of my favorite people of all time. Yeah, he's a bit of a nutcase. What was his first? Let's look up. Let me grab my phone here.
I know. His first one was like a TV show, a TV movie he did for BBC. Because he was a photographer, and he got highly trained by like Time magazine, and his photos were used as major narratives for what we get told as the truth. And Kubrick was trained by Time magazine as a photographer, and then he went to the UK. I mean, I've talked about this ad nauseum, which if anyone knows Latin. To you want to be sick, that Kubrick was a guy that went to England and did all these amazing shows. And, you know, we were talking about Clockwork Orange. There we go.
I've got it in front of me. So it says Stanley Kubrick.
Yep.
Kubrick, pronounced Kubrick, born July Kubrick. 1928 and died on March 7, 1999. Allegedly American filmmaker, photographer, a major figure. He's a good looking bloke. So he was born in New York.
Jewish family.
And died in Chelwicksbury.
This is the thing that always stood out to me. He was paranoid about going back to America constantly. So they shot that Vietnam thing, you know, the Vietnam movie did all in England, and all those palm trees.
Are you talking about the one where they shade their heads?
Full metal jacket. Interestingly too, because, you know, I've been watching the last, I watched now halfway through the second series of Stranger Things. The guy that played, the main guy, the good guy, allegedly, Full Metal Jacket, whatever his name is, he's the bad guy.
Matthew Modine.
Yeah, so Matt Modine is the bad guy in Stranger Things. He's this evil doctor with white hair. Looks exactly the same. Oh, man, it's fantastic. Great show.
Why not?
Not the best show ever, though. Not the best show ever.
Well, I've heard it's gone woke. That's why I'm not evil. Sure. Because I never got sucked into Game of Thrones. I had a suspicion. It was like that show Lost.
JJ Abrams
did. And it was a mystery box show, and he never had the answers to what's in the box. And, you know, I had a box, cause I live in a new place, and, parcels turn up here for other people, and I shake the box, and it's full of pills, and I'm there going, I bet if it's full of I don't know. I didn't open it because it's a crime to open other people's mail.
Is it?
So I, well, why would I? Box. Why would I do that? It's not for me.
Well, if they so were, I, what were those pills?
I just say, return to sender. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, Elvis said that too.
Elvis Presley?
He said return to sender several times.
Yeah.
And the song, one of the songs.
Well, one of my favorite people of all time.
Elvis Presley?
Yeah.
Evil S. Elvis.
I'm trying to find Stanley Kubrick's total filmography.
His biggest one early on Kirk Douglas played, and he was playing
He lived to be 101, didn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently he was a bit of a He was the circus guy, wasn't he?
And no, that was Bert Lancaster was a circus guy.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Oh, can you hear that? Did you hear that train toot? The big train just went past my house. Well, several.
Every time they go past my house, I kiss my mother's ring. I kiss my other ring on my hand. I point up to the sky and thank God for. But it's because industry is still working.
Oh my God, there's a massive
customers. Yeah. And I don't mind living next to a train station at all.
Neither do I. It keeps you alive. I love to hear industry going, you know, and I like in the middle of the night the trains go past. Yeah, it's about 10-minute walk from my house. There's a train line, but when you hear them, it's not a bad sound. It's a nice sound because it's like it means there's people doing stuff.
That's right.
It's a good thing.
All right, let's go through a few of these. Okay, sorry to cut you off there, Rick. No, We've already spoke about Full Metal Jacket, The Shining. Barry Lyndon? I haven't seen that one. Barry Lyndon. No, what can you tell me about?
Boring as fuck, but he used apparently the cinematography was using the same camera as they used on the moon landings, which I always said that's a direct link with the rumors.
Oh, yeah.
The moon landing. Yeah. So somehow,
yeah, NASA, I reckon.
And it's some kind of camera that could actually make candlelight look natural. It's a really massive, massive big, some kind of special camera. But he got it from NASA to do that show.
All right. We'll let that go. Let's go to a more interesting one. We'll go to the next one back, which is Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Which with Malcolm McDowell. I remember it well. The Goodies did a piss take on it. And it was banned in Australia because there's a rape. A grape.
Grape. There's not just a rape scene. There is like naked women with their legs spread, mannequins all the way through it, like with vaginas open in certain scenes. I mean, to see that as a, when you go to the movies back in the 1970, that's just unheard of. But that movie was full of really high level, you know, basically vaginas on show.
Maybe I should watch it again. But back then we couldn't watch it, and that's what made it so titillating in Australia.
It was R21. That means you had to be 21 years of age to watch that film because you actually saw vaginas in that.
You actually got to see the meat curtains.
But not real ones. But they were modeled on real vaginas. They were girls. Basically seats, and this feeds in with this whole Pizzagate thing and furniture. I don't know if you're into conspiracy theories about furniture, that they describe females as furniture. And if we keep going back, we're going to go to Lolita.
Yeah, we are. So we'll go. Lolita. Yeah. Hold on. So Eyes Wide Shut, 1999. So Full Metal Jacket was 1987. The Shining was 1980. Barry Lyndon was 1975. 1971 was Clockwork Orange. So the next one's 1968, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Huge fucking movie. And this particular color orange. There's this particular orange that's always seen in that movie. And the UFO film, TV show rather, that is the one that I was watching as a five-year-old. In 1969, 70, 71, 72, 73.
Sure.
That TV show used film sets off 2001 Space Odyssey. They were also building moon sets for that TV show, and they used the same ones that at the same time as they were filming. And
You said when you worked on Dark City, didn't they reuse Matrix
films.
Yeah, Matrix views. Well, why reuse them? Just spend the money on really cool technology with all that Carrie Ann Moss jumps in the sky, they pull her up and then they film around, and that becomes a cultural icon. That's been They've piss-taked that so many times.
The bullet scene or whatever when she's...
Yeah, that's it. Bullet time. Is it bullet time?
Yeah, I think it's bullet time.
When they had all those cameras, and everybody used it afterwards because it was so unique. Wachowski brothers.
Sisters.
Get all that bullshit. So the next one back was that was 2001 A Space Odyssey.
So the next one back
is 1964 Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah,
which is the one we were talking about before.
It was filmed and done in 63. It was supposed to be released the same day. No coincidence here as the Kennedy
shooting. The Kennedy shooting, yeah. I remember watching a documentary. Sorry to talk over you, Rick.
I'm used to that.
One of the Peter Sellers was supposed to play four characters in the movie.
Yeah.
But he goes, I can't do the one where the guy that rides the bomb down at the end.
Slim Pickens did it. Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens. There you go. See, you got the name.
Right character.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they wanted Sellers to do the Slim Pickens. But apparently Sellers was a pain in the ass to work for.
Oh, yeah. Apparently so.
Can you imagine fucking Kubrick and Sellers, and he's got to play four parts. My God, that must have been a nightmare. And you've got George C. Scott in there still in the show almost.
Yeah, chewing scenery, like they say. it's like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
You're dealing with a guy whose every move on his face is turning into like this incredible ability.
Oh, my God. Is Johnny? I'm sure that was scripted, but you know when he's axing through the door there.
And
Shelley Duvall.
Wendy, I'm home. Wendy, I'm home, and he's smashing through with an ice pick into that incredible.
Yeah. He hasn't done that many movies. So the next one back. So after 1964's Dr. Strangelove is Lolita in 1962. That's a controversial.
It's kind of a pedophile's dream of it's like a younger girl going out.
It's pedophilia, isn't it? Isn't it called there's a law where you have sex with an underage girl, but it's still
But Lolita was meant to be a very underage girl in the scene. Mm. So, yeah, I think it was Peter Sellers, and was it not Gregory Peck? Who was the other guy? It's James Mason. I've never seen it. I think it's James Mason, but either way, Peter Sellers.
It's called carnal knowledge, isn't it? Carnal knowledge.
That's what I said. The word fuck, F-U-C-K, for unlawful carnal knowledge.
That beard seems to be working on you.
But who was the lead? Was it Gregory Peck? No, it was James.
You got a phone in front of you. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose.
Okay. All right. Well, it's James Mason. And
I like James. Can you do your James no. Mason?
No. James. This is Kenny Williams here.
Yeah, Kenny.
I should have been in the movie Lolita. I should have been acting in. Why didn't they pick me? Because they're
Kenny. You fancy blokes. Sorry, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Not young girls. All right, so hold on. What happened to my phone? Whoops! Oh, I loved all. I really did.
I think it was James Mason. It was James Mason and Peter Sellers in Lolita, which is Stanley Nabokov that wrote the book. Huge book.
Oh, there you go.
Huge book. Back in the day, but before that, the biggest one he did had Kirk Douglas as a general and a kind of, I think it was a kind
oh,
of.
Oh, yeah, we're going back. We're going back now.
Okay, we'll go.
So they tried to remake, Lolita, and it didn't make any money because they had Jeremy Irons.
They remade it. But unfortunately, this is kind of the original.
And they couldn't sell it. They couldn't sell it to anyone. No one wanted it. Okay, so next one. So that was Lolita, 1962. So Spartacus is the next one, 1960.
Spartacus.
With Kirk Douglas.
Yep. Massive movie back in the state. Massive film back in the state. Interesting story. Spartacus. Yeah, I'm Spartacus. No, I'm. Yeah, and they parody that in.
They parody that. Yes, I've seen that a million times in comedy.
I'm Brian, and so's my wife.
It sounds like something Monty Python would do.
Well, they did, and they did on Life.
Okay, we'll go back. Okay, so the next one back is 1957. If my eyesight's is Paths of Glory.
Exactly. Okay, and I think they had Kirk Douglas.
1957. That's Kirk Douglas, definitely on the screen.
Yep, that's Kirk Douglas.
You know, when I was talking to Dave J this morning, and Christmas thing, and it was George C. Scott older or something, but it was I could tell it was George C. Scott. Okay, and then now The Killing, 1956 is the next one.
Now, okay, well, that is apparently really good, The Killing. That's shot in America.
I can't tell who that is on the cover there. Is that James Cagney or is that Jimmy?
You
can have to look up The Killing. We're getting into his early days. I'll do it for
you. This is 1950s we're talking about, The Killing.
But 1956.
They remade The Killing with the guy from, what's his name? The guy from that scene in the English actor that plays
motherfucking robbery. This is a motherfucking...
Yeah, the two actors that did... the remake of it in what's his name? Tarantino did the same English actor did a remake of The Killing in the I'm going to look at the what are we looking up? The Killing.
The Killing, 1956. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you all about it right now.
Because I'm being lazy.
That's good.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas Day, and I'm chilling. So I looked up his list.
Kubrick. Okay. Yeah. I'm doing it now.
The Killing. It looks like James.
I'm going to tell you right now. The Killing. Main cast of The Killing includes Sterling Hayden. So he was the bad guy. That was doing the talking about
Sterling Hayden. Sterling Hayden was the dude that General Ripper. That
it was General Ripper.
And then they set up all the nukes.
Yeah. That's him. Yeah. So Colleen Gray, Vince Edwards, Val, Elisha Cook, and George Petey, Marine Windsor. It also features J.C. Flippin and Ted DeCorsia as supporting roles. You know, so the main guy was Sterling Hayden in The Killing. Now, apparently, that is
Sterling Hayden.
He played General.
So Ripper, he must have got on with Kubrick. So
he did. No, so Kubrick used the same actors repeatedly if they were any good.
Yeah.
So you got two repeats by Peter Sellers, and you also got Sterling Hayden twice in the same. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. As long as you could handle each other, and if. You know, there are some people that want to get Rick and Roll at 61.
Be told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Hello. You're listening to the Christmas Day edition of Rick and Rillo on Truth, was it Meets.com on the 25th of December 2025. So back to our hosts, Rock and Rillo.
Thanks, Kev.
Jeepers creepers. Thanks, Ken. But I don't know if you're going to be back next year, but you've done well.
Ken. Neither is Kev. I'm hopeless with names.
Is it Kev?
Yeah, we're talking Stanley Kubrick. Before we've only got two more to go back. Killer's Kiss. Never heard of it.
Is it good?
No, it was 1955. And then Fear and Desire was his first one, 1952. Mm. So Stanley Kubrick. I gotta admit, the guy, so
I know.
One,
he's good.
Two,
he's good.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. He did 13 movies in his lifetime, and they were all, horrible. Maybe the later ones were better. Barry Lyndon, sure about that one.
Barry Lyndon, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy to sit there. Apparently, it's amazing looking by the lighting and stuff. The story is fucking boring. It's got Rob O'Neill. What's his name? Ryan O'Neill.
He did that wonderful scene where he goes, he's at the beach or something going, yeah. Ryan O'Neill, he knocked around Lee Majors.
A bit sleazy as well. And his daughter was, what's her name, O'Neill? It was also a bit young to be doing the roles that she was doing. A bit of like a early version of Brooke Shields. But Ryan O'Neill's daughter was there. Ryan O'Neill was married to, what's the name from Charlie's Angels? Farrah Fawcett Major. And they had a child together, I do believe. I think. It was a drug addict. Big surprise there.
Mm. Well, not unless you murder your family. Yeah, it's gotta be like Rob Reiner's kid. Huh? and you get the president to make some ridiculous remark. Oh my God. Donald Trump.
What's Donald Trump done for Christmas? Is he presented anything interesting?
He did his Christmas message.
King Charles, the big-eared imbecile.
What King Charles said? Let's look at him and see what he's up to.
I bet you he brought up Bondi in his Christmas message. So I haven't heard it, but I bet you he did. Guaranteed. King Charles. Just look up Big Ears King Charles Christmas message.
Yes, I will. I'll read it verbatim if you want to, King Charles.
If you can, why not?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying a quiet Christmas day. And I've enjoyed all the shows I was watching on YouTube. Including these incredible ones. If you want to watch, it's like vintage adverts of Christmas TV shows on YouTube. You can actually watch the trailers for what's coming on Christmas Day in 1978, 75, 74, whatever. Somehow they've been shared onto YouTube. And it's really nostalgic. You can see the Dad's Army Christmas special, or the bus Christmas special, all the shows.
I loved On the Buses. Oh my God. Yeah.
They were fantastic. Fantastic shows.
Reg Varney. Yeah.
Reg Varney and the other guy, the funny blonde headed guy did he commit suicide? He was very miserable when he died because he lost, he was his friend with the big teeth on the buses. He could not get a role in anything after doing that.
He suicided. Yeah, I don't know.
He was typecasted. And this is the thing. If you're a great actor and you've got an unusual face and you go onto a show like Tom Baker is a great example of this, that's it. for you. Everyone's going to think you're Doctor Who for the rest of your life. Pertwee possibly suffered from that because he was a great.
Pertwee had Wurzel Gummidge, and before that. He was in the Navy Lark, wasn't it?
Ronnie Barney.
Yeah. So he had, whereas Tom will be leaving us soon, I would imagine, because he's got to be.
He's 93.
How he's made it so long. Yeah, 93. It's amazing that he's made it so long. This year's Christmas message from King Charles III. Will be delivered from Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey, right? I've been to Westminster Abbey.
Yes, I have.
I jumped over the rope and sat in the. So I'm the king.
You are, to me, the rightful heir to the king of the throne of England. You sat on the chair.
I sat on the chair, and it was in 1999 when I was in London.
Yeah,
and I was just being a bit of a dickhead.
You are the rightful heir to the throne of England. I'm telling you, I also got frog marched, or not frog marched out, but they came up and said, turn your phone off.
That's right, up in Scotland when they thought you were going to steal the crown jewels or something.
No, it wasn't Scotland, it was the Tower of London. And they literally came straight up to me and said, you got to leave now, you're taking photos of these. And I said, it was my phone. Sorry, I was on the phone talking to somebody. And they thought that I was up to no good, and they literally came straight up to me and said, you've got to go. I went, well, excuse me, I've come over here because I'm the rightful king. I'm O negative. Have you heard me talk about that? I'm O negative, and I am the rightful heir. And my friend Rollo is the rightful heir of the whole of England. So the Rick and Rollo, we actually do own the whole of England, Scotland, and Ireland. Me and you. Rick and Rollo.
Why would they put that chair so... You would put it behind either Perspex glass or something.
You would, but you just don't expect someone to jump over and jump and sit on it like you did. Most people just go, no one's going to be that stupid to jump over and sit on this throne. But you did.
I was Westminster. I'm there saying, okay, this is what's going to happen now. I was like, doing a bit of a Mel Gibson, Braveheart.
You are the royal, the actual heir to the throne. Who are we going to have beheaded for New Year's Eve? I'm going to run for a whole year.
It wasn't the comfiest seat to sit on, I must admit.
No, you didn't have the royal cushion under your bum. It is a royal cushion.
That chair was made in the, the 1500s or something.
Whatever. You want Dodo?
I didn't want to damage it. I wasn't trying,
You did. I don't care what you say you did. You, if you sat on it, you are the rightful heir to. And I'm O negative bloodline, so I'm actually meant to be like your officer. I'll be like your Prince Harry whatever. And I'm going to be.
Well, we know Harry. Harry's not the right son of. Well, he's a ginger. Where the hell's a ginger come from? Diana fucked some rugby union player or something.
It was some army guy, tank commander that was a bodyguard. Right.
Yeah, and he was a ginger, and everyone knew it. It was an open secret. Yeah,
open secret. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we become the heads of state, which we're going to, I'm just going to tell you now, Rick and Rollo, we're going to run
We're the heads of state on Rick and Rollo 61. There you go.
Well,
we are the rulers. Jollo. Jollo is our
Jollo can be the he can be something.
Else. He's our supreme leader.
The first person I want to see beheaded will be the prime ministers of most of the English countries. They can be beheaded in front of the entire audience.
I'm not huge into guillotine beheading. But no, I would hang. I would hang Klaus Schwab. I would Rollo. hang uh,
How dare
Sorry,
you?
I know he's my uncle. And then Bill Gates or yes. Bill Hates. Bill and Gates. Then I would go Anthony Fauci.
Okay.
Anthony Fauci.
Every single COVID minister or media person that came out and told you to go and get vaccinated, they're going on there.
I would just say life imprisonment for all those.
No, be here.
I'm not for the death penalty, only for those three.
No. There's more than that. There'll be a lot more. It'll be all live and we'll have fireworks eventually afterwards. And that's the other thing I want to talk about, fireworks. Actually, no, I'll do that another time. But
sure.
Fireworks and Sydney, the winner is, they keep doing this thing every New Year's Eve. They keep doing this. They have to blow up $1 million or 10 million. Is it 20 million? It's millions of dollars with a firework. It upsets the dogs. It upsets the seagulls. It upsets any bird or animal.
They look pretty.
I don't give a fuck how pretty they look. It's upsetting the animals. And if the animals are getting upset, I have them beheaded as well. Not the animals, but the persons that are lighting the fireworks. They're getting lined up and they're going to get guaranteed.
Well, look. All right. Should I call you Karen now? Karen. Just chill the fuck out. You know the fireworks are going to go off.
Yes.
And, if you're a responsible animal owner, put your fucking dog inside, even if it's an outside dog.
Rollo, when they go off, I've had clients that had guard dogs in their property, richer ones, and people had no money whatsoever, and they were always going on about their dogs losing, shitting everywhere because of the noise of these fireworks, which I'm going to suggest is all nefarious. They keep having to do – this is a thing they keep having to do every New Year's Eve and upsets the birds.
So, Karen, you don't want fireworks anymore New Year's Eve.
No. I'd rather –
All right, Karen. Look, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you Karen from here on in.
Why and why not? I'm Karen.
Because there is tradition. There is – Look, people should be responsible dog owners, and I understand that
The noise of the fireworks goes through their houses. It's not just those people.
What about the people, Karen, that bought their apartments and there's Luna Park and they're worried about the children screaming?
Yeah, that's terrible.
On the roller coaster, and then they get Luna Park shut down. Karen, what do you think of that?
It's disgusting.
They did, Karen.
No, it's disgusting.
Just say Julie Andrews if you don't want me to call you Karen anymore.
Look, Rollo, I can handle being called Karen. Why not?
Well, Karen, you've got a beer in your hand, and so have I. A beer and a ciggy.
I've had more than a couple of beers, so that's been fantastic. And I'm glad that you actually turned up to do a Rick and Rollo Christmas Day special. Thanks, Karen.
I really appreciate it.
Rollo, why do you call me Karen? Why do you call me Karen? I could do that.
You can do that. We can end on a bad note, Karen. But Karen, are you going to call the manager?
I'm calling
the station.
How dare you? No, I'm not.
All right, Rick. I'll chill. I'll chill the fuck out.
Yeah, why not?
I was just saying, I had a great day, and I don't want to get on. I don't want to leave on a bad note. I just don't think fireworks are the biggest worry in the world. It's the death jab, the vaccine that I have. 100%
correct.
That's the reason.
Correct.
I hear a helicopter. Is Klaus Schwab?
Roro, I am Klaus Schwab. Have you been reset yet? I'm not sure if you have.
No, Klaus, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't been reset, and I own my own house, and Roro, I'm happy.
Roro, I want to say I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a vaccine New Year. This is why.
I've been taking,
I took three of them, that's S.
For a walk? Do you have them on?
No, Rollo, I got my Christmas present from Hilda, my wife.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little, it's a goldfish bowl, but I put my piranha in it, and it's got a little veal on the underneath of it, two veals, rather. And a little lead, and I can take them for a walk around the town in a Switzerland.
That I can imagine that.
Rollo.
And
a little kid came up to pet the piranha, and I said, just lean in a little bit more, and he fell in and he got eaten by the piranha. It saved me a whole lot of money, Rollo. So I told you about piranha food last week.
That kid, Klaus, was obviously a useless eater.
Rollo, I don't need to say this name, but he's a useless eater for sure. But anyway, he was trying to pet my little piranha on the top of his head. And I said, just lean in a little bit more. And he goes, what do you mean? And I went, pushed him in the back and he landed in the piranha pool. Little my baby piranha ate him. Rollo, piranha.
So what was it like? What was it like to get kicked out of your underlings at the WAF,
I will never forgive them for this.
Yeah?
I will never forgive them. No, Roro.
Your underlings, there is a chain of command, wasn't there, WAF?
Yeah, of course. But when you got from, when you were, what did they do to you when you were living in this Newcastle area?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
They were mean to you.
I'm not afraid of you because I'm pretty sure you're my uncle.
I think no. Oh,
no,
no,
yeah, I'm your nephew. I'm your nephew. Yeah.
N-E-F-F-U. Rudolph. Anyway, I think it's wonderful to be here on Christmas Day, so I can sing. You know, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And
I heard you the first time, Klaus. I'm still interested. Why?
Yeah.
Because I'm not in the WEF. Like, you've got eat the bug. Why do you want me to eat bugs? I don't want to eat bugs.
I keep explaining it's EGGPLAYNES that you, Roro, are not a useless eater because you've allowed Klaus Fobs from the very beginning formally.
Well, I have. Thank you, Klaus. All right. I think Rick's back from the bathroom. Klaus, can you just fuck off?
Thank you, Rick, Rollo, for inviting me.
You just missed Klaus.
Yeah,
I know. You miss him every time. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, well,
but Klaus is always nice to me.
I'm not that keen on Klaus Schwab. I find him to be insidious.
No, I want him on the end of the gallows pole along with Bill Hayes and even though he's nice to me because I'm his nephew,
he thinks you are. Well, I'm not sure, but either way, to be honest, it's entertaining radio. If he's prepared, this is the guy, the former head of the World Economic Forum, comes onto the Rick and Roller show. Name me one other show on any platform that has Klaus Schwab coming on to chat about
Not here in Australian radio on AM or AM on FM. Maybe, in America you would have Howard Stern or something. Would he be on?
You're listening to
Rick and Roller 61.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Hello.
This is a Rick and Rollo Show, Christmas edition 2025. And our hosts are Rock and Rillo.
Is that you, Kev? Kev?
Hello?
Or Ken? Yes. Is it Kev? Yeah, is it Kev or Ken?
Ken, I think.
Ken. Can you please fuck off? And put me and Rick are talking. So just fuck off.
Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Yep, no, piss off. Yeah, you've been sacked. I've done the Donald Trump. Trump on your ass.
Joel's desperate for donations. Mm. And he's allowed community radio.
Look, what I really wanted to talk about last week was Jim Angel with his voice, I didn't get it through fully what I wanted to talk about Jim Angel and his back and forth with John Laws. After he left TUE.
Yes.
He went back and this is the saddest part. He went back to community radio. Oh. And he died of a heart attack. He died of a heart attack a week later. And he had he was talking about all these things that that his daughter, was into, what's it called? Pantomime and, it brought tears. It was like the death of John Laws. It brought tears to my eyes, I know, even though he was rude to me occasionally, but
not occasionally, but only rightly so when you insulted him. Otherwise, he was.
When I said the thing that I when he stopped saying hello, and he did. Liz Jackson did expose him for, because she died years ago as well. When he go hello, and then John Howard or Paul Keating would go, g'day, John. And they've called him, his producers have called him.
Exactly.
And everyone knows it. And he goes, and he makes it look like,
he pretended that it was just like a random call, but it was actually
exactly.
And if the Prime Minister,
he didn't like being told that straight to his voice.
No,
and I was straight up there. Hello.
Sorry, you were honest in telling him that I could hear.
Yeah, honesty is not the best policy sometimes.
No, not with him. It wasn't. That's for sure. But you were just saying. I knew that you knew that there was a Prime Minister that was going to be the next caller, and he was pretending, and he was going, no, bullshit.
He'd skip the line on the board.
Yep.
You'd have to wait another bloody 15, 20 minutes until they finish their bullshit.
You were waiting on, listening intently. I totally agree.
Recording it all, mostly. I tell you one time, when I was talking to Lawsy, he was so fascinated with what I was talking about. I can't even remember now. Over the news break, he
come back.
Said we've got to go to the news, Rollo. Yeah. Because I always called as Rollo. I never called as, how Joel called that time as his own name, Jolo.
Yeah. No,
but I always called Rollo because Rollo is not my name. Real name.
Joel came on there as Joel.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Joel. Joel.
And I said, why didn't you come on as Velocet? I said,
no.
I said, we spoke that morning and I said, come on as Velocet. But he doesn't mind being called Jolo.
Jolo is a new thing we call. There's a new thing we call.
Rick and Rollo and Jolo.
Rick and Rollo.
Yeah, I had a real, and so did you. You became a fanatic of John Laws, Richard John Sinclair Laws. Yeah.
Let's say Sinclair was a surname. That's interesting because Sinclair is a really big, famous kind of black elite kind of surname,
apparently.
Well, I didn't know that till, years ago.
He was such a pain in the ass, apparently. He really was. You couldn't use his mic. You couldn't use his chair. You couldn't sit in his chair.
Weren't allowed to use the toilet after he'd been on it, you know, for about 24 hours. That's the
You couldn't piss in the same toilet as him. I heard, this is a story I heard. Frank Sinatra was expecting John F. Kennedy or someone, and they built a special toilet. Like, people are funny about toilets. I've never had a problem. As long as you've got a cubicle, and you can do your business on your own, I don't have a problem. The only problem I have is like going up to, between two blokes.
It is a very personal thing to go and actually stand there and unleash your bladder.
Never done it in my life.
I totally support your
but I don't sit down to piss. I don't sit down to piss.
Most men don't, Colin. I'm going to hazard a guess. Most men don't sit down to urinate. No, I don't want to stand there.
I like a cubicle of piss in where I get
where I live. When a visitor comes over that's from this area, and when we're having a beer out my backyard, they never because everyone's on town. Where I live, most people are not on town water. Not where I'm on town water. I mean, I'm connected to but most people have got their own. They have to get rainwater or pay for water.
Yeah.
So they do not go into a toilet to urinate. They do you a favor by just going under a tree and urinating around your lemon tree to make it. Now, that's normal where I live. But if someone comes over and they're from around here, when you're having a drink, they don't say, I want to use the toilet. Let's go and stand without saying anything. They'll just go and stand by the lemon tree and urinate around the lemon tree. To me, that's a compliment. Normal. Completely normal. But in the city.
That's a compliment. So when you eat those lemons or you put the lemon in your drink, that's that guy's piss. It's probably a good part of it.
No, but it's gone through the water, it's gone through the ground. It's gone through the ground and it's transformed because we've got uric acid, and uric acid and lemons, et cetera, work well. The lemons will taste better if someone's pissed all over them. That's a fact. Frank, where is he? Frank, become a verifier. It's true. When a friend of mine comes over, he just goes and stands around a fruit tree and urinates on it, and that urine will go into the ground and it will make the tree.
That's hilarious. I'll tell you a funny story. During the week, I got a letter in my delivered to my and it says,
Dear Rollo,
Mr. Rollo, and my address.
Yeah.
Who knows my address? It's either you or Jollo,
Christy. Or Christy.
Yeah. So who's this letter from?
Yeah, interesting.
And it was the most. It's the most. I can grab it and I can read it to you if you want.
Well, why not? It's Christmas.
What really? Well, you just chat away for a second. I'll go and grab it. Give me a sec.
You're listening to Rollo and Rico on truthmeets.com on the 21st of December 2025. Well, my name is Ken, and I'm from the community radio station that Jollo
is not paying me, but I'll come on here for free because I've got nothing else better to do and no one likes me and everyone says I'm annoying. But I'm here just to come on here to help the Rick and Rollo show. Thank you. Bye.
All right, I'm back.
Roll it. Thank you.
Perfect timing.
Ken came on again and he just told
me. Ken, good on you, Ken. Okay, so here we go. I've got the, so it says Australia postage paid. And it says Mr. Rollo. It looks like in child's writing. I won't say the street, but it's Cardiff.
Hitler Street.
And let me...
Here you go.
So here we go. So the first thing... the first thing, it says Map World, and it says Frank. So I'm thinking Frank, you know, the salt guy?
Yeah, of course.
And phone 1-300-795-697.
Salt, and salt at the end.
Best map, the sky clock is the truth. Anything else is a distraction.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. And on the back of this, it says, this time of the year, the sun rises southeast and sets southwest. Do you know any fakeologists that live in the South America, if they could make the same map I did.
Really?
Sunrise, midday, sunset.
Does it say fakeologist in the...
It does say. It's child's writing. I thought it was one of your kids.
No.
All right, the next one is... This is the Shields map of the sun travels east to west, not a circle. And it's got, as again, I'll show you this next time we meet.
Okay, well, someone that knows you or whatever must have sent that, because that sounds like something off someone that we know.
I'll tell you what I'll do, because I've got a brand new phone.
Yes, you have.
I'll take photos of this. And yeah, I'll post it in the Rollo's balcony. It's got Uncle Ab. And okay. It's JLB's Stop Drinking Shill Duffy. Jizz. And get a real job.
And that was sent to you.
So,
your mail.
Yeah, it's sent in my mail. I will black out my address.
No, but it must be Joel.
And here we go. Now, here's the letter. It says, hey, Rollo, good to see you are going well. Just keep off the Red Bull and Bridget Jones, which I mean cocaine. There's something about Anna. She's Anna. A lady. I don't know. Is that another, term for...
Okay, that's not job. But how had someone got your address from fakeologists to have sent that to?
Yeah, I know. You think I'm bullshitting, don't you?
I'm not. No.
I will take a photo of it. I've got a brand new camera. So,
someone who knows you and that knows your address.
That was spooky.
Look, I'm going to tell you now, who's been there 2-3 times, I don't know your address. It's probably in my phone, but I've got no idea your actual address if you ask me. And you threatened that if you can't tell me your address, it's costing $1 million a minute. I couldn't tell you what your address is. So someone that knows your address, and it's not Joel.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Well, if it's not Joel, I don't know who it is. Okay, so I'll say it again. Hey, Rollo, good to see you are going well. Just keep off the Red Bull and the Bridget Jones. There's something about Anna. She's a lady, princesses, have a crush on her. So Goanna, fakeologist off the year, can you please get Jolo or Abbo to play, get a haircut and a real job? for a tribute to JLBO signing out Cool Clam KO from the south side of San Susi Seaway. There you go. It must be French. Well,
must be, yeah, it must be, because San Susi is Sydney. But some of
but Frank, doesn't Frank live down in Geelong? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, but Frank,
I'll take photos of all of this and I'll post it.
Don't put it onto your just send it to me directly as a message, because I'll try and work out who it might be, because I don't know anyone that would know your actual address, because even I don't know that. Even though I've got it in my
I'll post it to the hardly anyone looks at Roller's balcony, so I'll post it, but I'll blank out obviously my address.
Just send it to me.
I know how to blank square out my address and yeah.
That's
but apart
really
from
strange.
That, I'll put the rest. Yeah, it is crazy. I mean,
really strange.
You think I make stories up? And no. I do occasionally. Yeah, well, the Mel Gibson me down at the Iron Horse. I was so wasted that day.
How much did you pay for this brand new phone?
$300.
Okay, then it must be something like I've got, because I've got a cheap version of the
brand new phone is just superb. And it works exactly the same. It's a Galaxy Samsung.
They're way more than $300.
I looked it up on the interwebs, the Google machine on the interwebs. Yes. And it says, for what the value, I should have, you know, $500-$600. So I basically got the dude is a dead set legend. He's a no nonsense guy. He just, because I put a deposit and I got pissed off with him. Because yes. I put a deposit on, I went in there and I said, look, I want a new phone or a newer phone. I don't want to, you know, it's like a secondhand car type thing. And, I put $100 deposit on it. And then he rings and then he texts me and said, I sold it. And I go, what the fuck? Putting a deposit on a phone? He goes, no, I got you a newer one. And
Honestly, Rollo, $300. Look, I paid $500, I think, for my one I've got, and it's like it's a 5G phone, Samsung, but it's only a crap version of the latest stuff, you know, because apparently the new cameras and everything on the new iPhones are like second to none, like really good stuff.
Well, this guy did all he made my old phone look like the new phone, but the only trouble is it doesn't have the jack that goes into it, like the old school jack. I have to get until if this phone dies, the one I'm talking to you on now.
Yeah,
I know this is gonna bore people to tears. I'm going to have to get, what are they called? Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get it to talk to the phone so I can speak to you in this, to hear my dulcet tones like you, Rick. Yeah. Like you sound in the same room. You know what I mean? The guy was great.
That is a bit weird.
Do you know what it was? Do you know what happened? He said it's going to take 2 hours for the an hour. And
you're listening to
Rick and Roller 61. Rick and Roller 61. Christmas.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to.
donate link.
There we go, Rick and Rollo. If you didn't hear it, click on the donate link, you fucks, truthmeats.com.
Yeah.
give Velo a bit of money, our super duper producer with the Medusa.
Well, Rollo,
now it is. Hold on. It's Christmas Day.
It is Christmas Day.
And you're getting a special Rick and Rollo 61.
Totally original material. No AI.
And we haven't repeated ourselves or bullshitted. You're only going to get the truth here because it's truthmeats.com.
Yes, we have.
Yep. That's right.
We're going to go with Electric Knickers by the band.
Have you sent that to our super
duper producer? Yes, I have. And I'm telling you, I was just, this is coming from Quentin Smirs, whatever, S-M-I-R-H-S, Smirs, Quentin Smirs. That's not his real name. He's a character. That was the best Christmas present I've got.
Can I thank a few people that have spoken to us? During 2025, apart from Prince Charles, who's looking at me right there.
King Charles.
King Charles. Why do I call him Prince Charles? So, firstly, I'd like to,
thank
Susie. Susie? Remember Susie?
She's gorgeous. Of course, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, thanks Susie, for being so awesome. She sent me a lovely picture. It's in cute animals. She put a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
Well, she did.
She put years ago. That was brilliant. Typo error. He's a bit of a drunk.
No.
His name's Chris. He's a bit like us. I would like to thank Sarah.
Yep.
Sarah, the wife of our super duper producer. Verilicious, JR, Johnny's Wrist. Thank Johnny's you, wrist. Brendo. Yeah.
Yep.
Bello and himself, John.
I cannot remember his name last week. The guy from America who's actually an American Indian. I could not remember his name last week.
Sorry, you broke up. Take two.
What's the guy? Oh, I cannot remember his name. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to go into it. Here we go. He's on what show?
Go for it.
He's on the Rick and Rollo show. And Meanland, here we go. Find that. Resmut Jeff. Thank you to Resmut Jeff because he's been posting.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Much.
He's got lovely, lovely doggos. Yeah.
And he has beautiful dogs. And he shares photos of his cute little dog on
horses. He's a big fan of the Cleveland Indians because I think he's a Native American, isn't he?
He is a Native American. A great guy. And so I couldn't remember his name.
Can we call him an Indian? Hey, Resmut, no. Can we call you an Indian?
We can call you a Native Indian.
No, we used to play cowboys and Indians when we were kids. Resmut. Resmut's as cool as cow.
Okay, so Johnny's Wrist, thank you. Martha. Thank you for always being there for the interesting things and stuff. So thank you, Martha. Verilicious.
Verilicious. Thank you for the John Laws hug. The hug.
And her husband, Ian.
He's a window. He does the window wiping of skyscrapers.
Skyscrapers, not normal window cleaning. Window cleaning. So thank you for all these people that have been doing some amazing stuff, especially Joel, though. I mean, Joel has been, this guy has just given Rick and Rollo their own show where they can talk about whatever the Fuck, I do. And yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I prefer to call him Belisette, but there you go. There are a few others that I want to thank. Okay. Is John LeBron. John LeBron, as annoying as you are, you motherfucking cunt up in Bulgaria.
Oh, I think he's come back to Australia. I've got this feeling he's back in Australia.
Oh, well, come to my place. We'll go in the rig.
I think we're all a bit old for that.
Probably kick the shit out of me. Tim, fakeologist. Seriously, we wouldn't be talking now if it wasn't.
Exactly. It wasn't for the fakeologist radio, fakeologist.com.
So we're saying Merry Christmas to all these people. Dave J, Merry Christmas.
Big time.
Yeah, with all those beautiful Dave songs that he just does on AI.
Dave does not believe in Christmas, so we just have to say Merry, Merry, Merry.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Whatever.
Delqua.
Is he still alive?
Greg Chance. I don't know who you are, but there you go. Announced the Salt Bidet, Frank. Yeah.
Frank. Whoa,
D-Train. D-Train is Bellis. Verilicious is, nickname.
No.
Well,
D-Train is Verilicious's husband. Big difference.
There you go. Beachy. Merry Christmas to Beachy. Jesus
Christ. Linda Curtis.
Oh, Linda.
Ohio. On the banks of the Ohio.
And we've got, what about Noise Level or what was his name? The Golden Skin Mark.
Big thank you. We use a whole lot of his stuff.
Fast Value. Merry Christmas to you, Fast. Who lives down in Texas now?
Cold Card Ken.
Cold Card Ken. Billy C.
Billy C. Big time. Massive. Who is actually being played by Tom Arnold? Tom Arnold is Billy C.
Yep.
Be told.
Okay. Armin Rye. He's down in South.
Armin Rye and. This wonderful Scotsman, whatever his name is, those amazing shows.
Merry Christmas to you, Armin Rye. Benoit.
We haven't heard from him for a long time, but I'm sure he's still around. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Tommy Dalpra.
I mentioned Tom Dalpra when I was talking to John Laws, and that's when he called me a blockhead bastard. Yeah. Tom Dalpra from Nutmeg.
Merry Christmas, Tom Dalpra.
Yeah, Nutmeg, the Nutmeg man. I remember when I was at when I was in Ireland, and he bought the and in England we're going mental. Tom Dalpra looks so good looking. I would have turned gay for Tom Dalpra.
Gorgeous.
All right, so we've got Benoit of I. Vidir
is she's an American female that I think is in California.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to her.
Merry Christmas to you, Vidir. Johnny Come Lately. We think he might have.
He did. You know, it was snowing.
He's like the Tasmanian tiger.
He's extinct. It was just snowing. It was snowing this morning in Tasmania. He says, "Stabbing his eyes." Yeah, it was snowing. Well, and my son's girlfriend, my youngest child's girlfriend. My God, I can't believe I'm saying that. Is in Tasmania in a holiday house with her parents, and it is snowing. They've got a white Christmas.
Well, white Christmas down in Tasmania. Moon Harvest is your is Matt, your name makes your coffee.
Yeah. Matt, he used Matt to, but he's now mowing lawns. He's left the job as a barista and he's mowing lawns. Moon Harvest,
well, shout out to
you, be told.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not miss anyone out here.
Who else?
We've got Napoleon Wilson.
Oh, my God. Napoleon Wilson. Big shout out to Napoleon Wilson. What an amazing guy. What an amazing guy. And I tell you now, there's
when
no
I
more
said the N-word, he got pissed off when I said the N-word.
So he carries a threat. If he says, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, you fuckwit, he fucking pulled him.
I know. I should never have said that word. It's not my word to say.
Well, no, it's not your word to say, but Napoleon Wilson, big, big, massive shout out to you.
Yeah, okay. We've got, who else? Miss him.
Oh, my God. Is she still around? Is she in all the way in Switzerland? And me and you talked to her live, and she showed us her backyard in Switzerland.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Miss him.
Jan Erik.
Yeah, Jan Erik. Big, big, big shout out to Jan Erik. One of the greats. All the way from the Hoaxbusters days and Chris Kendall. What an
amazing. Yeah, Simon Shack. The guy that created September Clues.
September Clues. Yep.
100%. So big.
Massive shout out.
Ash, Ashello. I went and played in the height of COVID. I went to the casino with her and we had to sit between perspex and I was just like retarded. Without a trace?
Yeah.
Well, that could be the getting a bit older here.
Yeah, I'm losing it now, but without a trace, okay. Without a trace, fantastic.
Well, let's go through these. Tara Wynn?
No.
No idea. No. Nature. All right. Purple Play?
Yes, we've mentioned her.
Yep, all right. Hold on, Rachel. Remember Rachel?
Rachel, oh, my God. Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel. She was...
And she is definitely still around.
All right.
Rachel, fantastic. Always from Birmingham. No, sorry, Liverpool. Liverpool.
See, we don't forget. Yeah.
You know, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Linda Curtis. Yeah, look, it's all good. Look, my phone, because I've got this brand new phone, and it remembers everything. But I guess the biggest Merry Christmas has got to be to you.
Yeah, and you
and to our super duper producer,
who's with the Medusa, and that Jolo has just been our greatest supporter. Fakeholders created us, Rick and Rollo show. So shout many shouts out to those people.
And we're going out with
Electric Knickers by the band that does not exist. There's no such thing, but they've got a band and a fucking great song by the band Electric Knickers, 1970, called Electric Knickers, but that's KNICKERS. And if Jolo can do that, and I've sent it to him already, so Rick and Rollo, awesome. Christmas special.
I'll see you back in the green room.
All right, man. That's fantastic. Yeah. So happy Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas. Rick and Rollo. That's coming from Rick and Rollo. We've shouted you all out, and we love you all. We love you all, be told. And before I go... Sorry, everyone. Derek from Rhode Island, a big, big, big Merry Christmas to you because you are one of our top fans. So add that to the end of this show, the Rick and Rollo Christmas edition on the December the 25th, 2025. Thanks, Susie, for reminding us that Derek from Rhode Island is definitely one of the top fans of the Rick and Rollo show. So be told, Merry Christmas. And we're going to go out with this again, the show that it just, I'm a addicted to, and it's the Quentin Smith show, and it's a parody of old TV shows. Electric Knickers, Be Told, the greatest show on the YouTubes ever. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you next, whenever we turn up again. Whenever we turn up again, we have got no idea when that'll be. Thank you very much. Good night. Thanks, Derek. Bye.
You got a cute little smile and long dark hair, and clear blue eyes with a piercing stare. You're a proper cool cat, and I dig that move. When you dance and you shake to a kicking groove, wanna hold your hand and take you out. I wanna watch all my friends all scream and shout. A girl like you is a jelly bean, when you jump and you shake on the music scene. Cool, cool, you're no fool, you got electric knickers. That's right, you know what I like, you got electric knickers. Cool, cool, you're no fool, you got electric knickers.